We're going to jump into our service here. And like Denise said, we were up in Minnesota at a conference there for a couple days, about a week. And, you know, we had hands laid on us because I've had it done before, but never with this group. And it was really good. God had spoke to me two things specifically in the last month or two. And, you know, praise God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Are still today, I believe, whatever's in the Bible still in play. Amen. I don't see where God, you know, threw it out. But two things that God had spoke to me in the last couple months, I mean, when they were laying hands on us, both of those things came out. And it was kind of specific. So, you know, I'm excited, you know, what the future is, you know, what God's going to be doing, you know, through our lives here at this church and the things that he wants to accomplish. Amen. And we can do it together. So we're going to be talking today about the subject of faith, faith works, okay? Something the Lord spoke to me when I was up there at the conference about this specifically. And to me, you know, faith is action, okay? It's an action thing, and that faith is not something that we're supposed to keep to ourselves. It's something that we need to spread. And, you know, faith always has to have an object that it wants to make an impact on. And see, we need to stand in the gap and we need to step up and to be able to make a difference in this world. Because if we don't, things aren't going to go the way that we need it. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in building up our faith that we forget that we have to release our faith. We need to, you know, send it out. We need to put it to work and to speak life into situations where there's death and healing where there's sickness and, you know, just praying for people that are going through a lot of bad things. And so not only do we need faith that overcomes the world, but we need faith that will change the world. You know, the Bible says that God formed everything when he spoke, and, you know, there's power in words. And I believe there's greater power in faith-filled words. That we, and I, what I mean by faith is Bible faith, okay? It's not faith in our faith. It's not faith in, you know, a person or anything like that other than Jesus Christ. You know, but we have to have Bible faith. And that's so important that we get into the Word of God. We're going to look at a couple different translations today, but the first one I want to see is the Amplified Bible. I like it because it's louder than the others. Amen? I'm going to use all my old jokes here today. But it says, in Mark 11, 22 and 23, it says, "And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up, and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the stirring of the Holy Spirit here today. We thank you, Lord, for the unction. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Lord, we maybe come here with, you know, different attitudes, different ideas. But Lord, we thank you through worship. Lord, we have focused our attention on you, because you are the most important thing here today. And Lord, I thank you for the gift of the Spirit that to be in operation. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher. You're the revealer. You're the one that brings truth. Because, Lord, we do not want to be disconnected from truth. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so the first thing about faith works, I got a little play on words on all these points I'm going to look at. But faith works by believing. I mean, that's pretty elementary Christianity 101, isn't it? Faith works by believing. See, we need to believe in a God we cannot see with a faith we cannot feel. And that's hard to do sometimes because we live in a torn world that is broken and so many things that are going on around us. And then we come here and we get maybe, you know, built up a little bit and we kind of get exhorted in the things of God. And then we go back out into the world and, you know, maybe your marriage isn't what it's supposed to be, okay? You know, maybe there's things that's going on at work that is very devastating. Maybe you've been overlooked. All these different things go on in our life and all these things that we have to deal with. But see, we need to understand the fact that feelings will lie to you. I mean, I know this for a fact. There's some people, you know, that say, "I love you today," and then they don't love you tomorrow. That's just a feeling change is all it is. And see, we need to not be led by our feelings all the time, because feelings will lead us astray. And that's why we need to make sure that we stand on the covenant that God has with us. Because to me, what happens is faith, Bible faith, fills in the blanks to a lot of those questions. See, I've read some things in the Word that I don't understand all the time. I don't know if you have. Maybe you understand it all, but I don't. There's things in there that I just don't see how God did it or how God's going to do it. But what I know is the fact that when I'm operating in Bible faith, when I'm standing on the Word of God, I do see that those blanks, those things start to fill in. And then I can easily just continually keep proceeding with God. And important is to keep that walk of faith. Now, it says to have faith in God constantly. Now, I've watched in my life, I know sometimes we can, you know, have you ever got fired up for a prayer? You know, I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but you get kind of fired up for a prayer. Maybe you grab a couple people and maybe you got something going on there, some circumstance or situation in your life that's well beyond your control. And so you grab a couple people and you get fired up and you release faith. You know, you say, oh, I believe God. I believe God you're going to do this. You know, but then after the prayer, you know, maybe an hour or two later, you know, you're out there and you all of a sudden it comes out of your mouth, you know, I don't think this is going to work out. You know, I don't think God's going to do this. See, you've given it away. You know, we have to have faith constantly in the Word of God, no matter if we understand it or not. I'd rather die believing God than die not believing God. Amen. I mean, I believe the reality of God in our life. I mean, I started out as a young kid. I prayed to Jesus every day, didn't know Him. You know, I knew I was supposed to pray, and I knew I was scared to die, and I don't know if you've ever been scared to die, but as a kid, you know, that was kind of a concern of mine. I knew that I wasn't right with God, and I wasn't sure exactly how to get there all the time. Nobody ever told me about Jesus. You know, very much here in Iowa, I had to go all the way to Denver, Colorado and get saved. I mean, that's why we come back here and we started a church, I think, part of it, you know, because I love this community. You know, I want to see people help. And over the years, we've helped a lot of people. And, you know, I think we continually do more. And we need to, you know, as a church, we need to unite our faith together because there's so many people in this community alone, not to mention around the world, that are living without Christ. And they've never seen a godly representative show them what Jesus is really like. And we need to be a part of that movement that wants to do that. See, we need to have relentless faith, faith that won't give up, because sometimes, like I mentioned, things won't go our way. And when those happen, the only thing that I've learned to do is number one, first you need to dig in. You know, you got to find a scripture. You got to find a scripture that helps deal with your situation. And you need to hold on to that scripture then. You need to hold on and never let go of that promise. And see, that's how we go through these situations. You know, things don't always go our way. But we have to know that we have a God that really cares. You know, sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray. And things don't really materialize when we want or like we want. But does that mean we throw in the towel? I hope not. I hope we keep on pressing on. And we keep doing the things that God's called us to do. You know, a story that I've shared, I remember this several years ago, sharing this, but I don't know if you ever heard of the legend of the Cheyenne dog men or dog soldiers. And what they were, it come by one of their Indian Charmin guys or whatever. They made this kind of a group of people. And they would, I think four of them were picked out of the tribe. And what it was is they would have a piece of rawhide sash that was wrapped around them. And then the thing was around 8 or 10 feet long. And it had a little stake on the end. Okay, when they were out in battle and they went out as a group, well, some people maybe started to retreat. Have you ever felt like retreating? You know, I think we all have. Well, what happened is these Cheyenne dog soldiers, when everybody else was retreating, they would take that stake and they would drive it in the ground. And they would stay within that 10-foot circle. And that's where they fought to the death. They would not give up. They knew, they believed in what they were doing, and they were willing to lay their lives down for it. Now, something that I've learned, you know, in life, you know, as a Christian, you know, God has given us the armor of God. You know, I think that's kind of cool. I've never put on real armor. I have held a shield before. But see, when we have armor, the armor is made to protect us. It's both offense and defense. But I will say this, the shield of faith is meant to protect your front side. Amen? We don't have a lot of protection on our back. I mean, yeah, we have the, you know, maybe a little bit of protection about there. You know, God said he has our back. But if we're running away, if I die, I want to get shot in the front. I don't want to get shot in the back. I've watched enough Westerns to know. Amen? I've been on this Gunsmoke kick for about a year now. I have turned into my father. And, you know, I never did understand, but I mean, compared to all the other stuff, I mean, you know, that's really cool stuff right there, some of the stuff in the Old West. But I do know this, you didn't shoot at anybody in the back and you didn't want to get shot in the back. You know, that's just not a way to go. And I think us Christians need to have the same mentality. You know, we need to face our problems. You know, I countless people I've known over the years, you know, that when they do okay for a while, but then when a problem hits, instead of facing that problem, they run. They just run away. And they don't want to deal with it. And yeah, I know dealing with things sometimes can be painful. But I'll tell you what, it's worse if you run away because you got that nagging thing in the back of your head all the time, just kind of eating at you. So, you know, we need to, you know, face our problems. And, you know, if you're going through something right now, I encourage you, drive a stake in the ground and stand your ground. Stand your ground and keep moving towards God. Amen? And that's important. All right, now I want to look at a couple scriptures in the book of James. James chapter 2, verse 14 first. And we're going to look at the Message translation. And that's more of a American slang paraphrase translation. And it kind of comes out with some things. It kind of puts a different picture on it, and it's kind of good. It says, verse 14, it says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it?" You know, I think that's a good question. Now the next verse is down, I'm going to jump down to verse 18. It says, "I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, 'Sounds good. You take care of the faith department. I'll handle the works department.' Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together like a hand in a glove." Okay. That's what we have to do. We have to get to the place, because the next point is faith works by working. And this is where, in my opinion, there is a disconnect between the people of God accomplishing great things for God and just people of God just kind of going through the motions, okay? Because we have to have action with what we do. And it's important that we flow with that. See, faith needs to have corresponding action. If I told you I was a Christian but that lived like a devil, there is a disconnect there, aren't they? It's just, they don't work. They don't go hand in hand. But see, if I tell you I'm a Christian, yes, I know I'm going to stumble. I'm going to make some mistakes. But believe you me, I don't wake up every day believing I'm going to fail. I don't wake up every day believing I'm going to make somebody mad, you know, or make somebody stumble. I don't believe that. I don't want that. That's not my desire. My desire is to glorify God. Now, I may not make it all the time, but my intention in life is that my actions line up with my mouth. And they go hand in hand, just like a glove. And see, you know, it's important. Now, remember the old O.J. Simpson trial? When he tried on the glove and it didn't fit? I think the lawyer said, if it don't fit, you can't convict. Right? You know, it's got to fit. Our Christianity has to fit with our actions as well as our mouth. And it's important that we do that, because, you know, a lot of Christians, you know, we can have classroom faith. You know what classroom faith is? You know, you know what to say at the right time, amen at the right time, do this at the right time. But we need to have laboratory faith. You know, in the laboratory is when you test everything and you're putting things together and you're starting to work with those things. And you start to see those things start to manifest in your life. And that's where we learn. I've learned more by doing than I have by watching. You know, you want to know what, if you really want to know the secret, now this is the secret sauce to really growing in Christ, is getting involved with God. It's simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's getting into the Word of God, and then you start to use that Word. And this is a great laboratory to try some of that inside the local church. You know, if you want to learn how to teach people, see, when I started out, I was scared to death to pray in front of another person. I just knew I was going to mess up. And I'll be honest, the biggest fear I had after I started to go to church was I was going to cuss when I said something, because I was a construction worker. I just come out of the world. And, you know, every now and then you hit your hand or something, you know, something happens. You know, I've fallen off ladders. I've, you know, just a lot of things. You never know. And I was concerned about that. And that was the devil. I mean, I heard other Christians cuss before, and they didn't get sent to hell, I don't believe. But, I mean, that was one of my concerns. I didn't want something to slip out. But, see, when I got involved, when I started to do things in the church, you know, I started off in different ministries. You know, I ushered. I taught little kids. I taught three-year-olds and all these things. So I started to use my faith. I didn't know very much, but I was willing to tell what I know. Are you willing to tell what you know? You may not know every answer. You may not know wherever Scripture is. But are you willing to tell what you do know? Are you willing to tell what has Jesus done for you? Amen. I knew I was saved. There was a change. He delivered me from some things. It was powerful. But I hopped right in. I got involved. Fortunately, I hooked up with some people that were very radical for Jesus. You know, we didn't put Jesus on our finger and try to cram him down people's throat for the most part. But, you know, we wanted to serve God, and we got involved helping people. And I encourage you to get involved. Start to see things happen. You know, it grieves me when people, you know, I knew some people that left their church here in town, and they went to another church down in another city, and it was a big church. I said, "Wow, I hardly what happened?" They said, "Well, we wanted to go down there to hide. We didn't really want to do anything, so we know we can go in there, do our thing, and leave." I said, "I didn't say a word. They weren't my sheep." I says, "You know, well, I hope you get that straightened out, because, you know, I know this other church could really use you back. I mean, they could use your help. You know, it's important that we serve." So anyway, that's just a little extra for somebody there maybe. So faith works, but you have to work with it. We have to flow, and we have to do it God's way, the way that God wants us to do. See, there's a big difference between talking faith and walking faith. Amen? Sometimes you just got to have that thing going on where you start to actually follow through. And whatever that means for you, start where you're at. You don't have to start, you know, thinking you're going to have to preach to about 1,000 people before you're ready. No, you start preaching with one. You start sharing it with one. You start doing the things that God's called you to do. And see, faith will talk you into doing something while doubt will talk you out of doing something. Have you ever been talked out of doing something for God? I know I have. You know, God gave me a God idea. There's good ideas and there's God ideas. You know what I mean? There's a difference. And the good ideas are fine. I've had a couple good ideas in my day. But the God ideas are better. And see, when we start to walk in the God ideas, and then all of a sudden you just maybe get afraid, or you just don't feel you can do it. And, well, that's true, but God can do it through you. See, we forget that sometimes. You know, we forget that. And see, remember, God can do it through you. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be available. You just have to be ready to step through that door, to be able to honor God with your life, and that's powerful. So faith talks you into doing, and doubt will talk you out. Now, what I found in my life, you know, faith compels us to step up and step out. You know what I'm saying? I picture them old stores or those old shows where somebody's looking for a volunteer, and they say, "Everybody, whoever would like to volunteer, step forward," and then everybody else steps backwards, and then you're standing there. Well, hey, welcome to the church sometimes. You know what I mean? Everybody else is, they're not the dog soldier. They're heading backwards, you know? But, you know, we need to step up and step out and start to walk in it. And so faith will compel us to do that. You know, I like the old saying, don't just keep the faith, but spread it. Now, what I see from this passage of James, see, James was talking to some Christians that, you know, and there's movements around, you know, everybody gets off on, have you ever been off on a tangent? You know, we all get off on tangents, don't we? You know, Christianity either is in one ditch or the other ditch. I mean, that's, you just got to stay on the road, man. Just keep it real. But what happens sometimes, they were talking faith, and some people just can quote scripture. Have you been around somebody just quote the word and, you know, bless God? I mean, I used to be like that. I was dangerous. When I got saved, I have a photographic memory to some degree. And so when the first year or two I was saved, you know, and I was going to Bible school and, you know, just getting the word in my life, and man, I could quote the word and, you know, I was destroying people with it. You know what I mean? I wasn't using it properly. You know, and I was just talking faith and talking this and all that, and you know, there was just a bunch of ruins all around me, you know. I didn't know how to, I was wrong. I was just wrong. You know, and then I learned as I grew a little bit to chill out a little bit and to use the Word of God and let God use me, and things started to flow better. But see, James was talking to somebody here that would just, you know, they just say, well, I'm a Christian, you know, bless God, you know, and, you know, like, and he even says in that passage, you know, that somebody came to him and they needed either clothing or food, and here, let me pray with you. You know, I'll pray that God will bless you with some food, or I'll pray that God will bless you with some clothes, brother. You know, I know God's got this. Here's what I see from it. If you got two sandwiches and they don't have any sandwiches, take your one sandwich and let them have one. Simple, isn't it? It's not rocket science. You don't have to go to Bible college to learn that. It's practical faith, showing it by your works. You know, what can we do to make a difference in somebody else's life? And it's so easy that, you know, it made it so that anybody can do it. Now, I do know this. We can't help everybody, right? How many would agree with that? I can't help everybody. You know, I have a lot of assets, but I don't have enough assets to help everybody. And I recognize that. But just because we can't help everybody doesn't mean that we can't help somebody. And see, that's the mentality we need to have when it comes to living the life of faith and walking in that faith. See, I know I can't, you know, touch everybody's life, but who has God brought across my path? Is there somebody that I can help along the way? And see, it's a law of multiplication. If you help somebody, or maybe you help two or three people, and those two or three people help two or three more people, see how that can really grow. But see, that's what it means to be a disciple. You know, I know in our movement or in our thing, discipleship is somewhat lacking. You know, discipleship is really spending time with people and letting your Christianity rub off on them. That's really what it is. Now, I believe in teaching and preaching. I know that with all, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, and all that is so important. But I do know also that the power lies when you and I are willing, just like, you know, the women are having a Bible study, you know, getting to spend time in a smaller group, talking with each other, you know, finding somebody you can pray with and share your life with. You know, and us men need to do that too, and I need to come up with some things, you know. But those are just opportunities. You say, well, I don't want to go. I don't want to have to talk. You don't have to talk. You don't have to pray out loud. You know, but I'll guarantee you this, take it from somebody who is naturally an introvert, you let God get a hold of you. Just participate. Just show up. Showing up is the, you know, that's a big thing. Just show up. Start to hang a little bit with these people, and you'll get to know them, and that's why it's important. And then we start to grow, and we grow together, and that makes us a strong body. I'm so excited about that. So we need to just let go and let God sometimes, and that means let go of our stuff and let God, you know, work through us. Okay, the last passage I want to look at today is an Amplified Bible, and it's Galatians 5:6, okay? Galatians 5:6. Now, this is a another faith works, and it's going to be faith works by love, but Galatians 5, 6 in the Amplified, it says, "For if we are in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love." Love. Love is one of those words. It's a four-letter word, ain't it? It's one of those words that we sometimes, it's hard for me to negotiate. I'm not a very touchy-feely, huggy-wuggy kind of guy. I like to hug, Christians, and I do the old Pentecostal side hug a little bit, But, if we want to learn from Jesus, which I think is the greatest teacher, Jesus, when he started to operate in the gifts and you started to see miracles start to happen, is he was moved with compassion, okay? There was something inside of him called love, the God kind of love. And see, the God kind of love is that love that loves no matter what. It's a sacrificial love. It's not a love, a lot of us walk in love, and the basic love that you and I do, I'll love you if you love me, but if you don't love me, I don't love you. Right? That's the normal love that we operate in. But see, the God love that he wants you and I to get to, if we can, and we can by his grace, I love you even if you don't love me back. That's love. I mean, anybody that's been a parent, if you heard some of them little, I don't want to say knotheads, what do you call your kids that's polite, when they actually mouth back to you, you still love them, and you look past that stuff. I mean, at the time, it may irritate you quite, your color changes in your face, you get mad, and you're ready to hand out some discipline or whatever. But you get past that, don't you? You love them. Why? Because they're a part of your family. And see, we as Christians, we're in the family of God. Amen. How important is it that we understand what it means to be a part of a family? We've all probably learned that. Have you ever had two family members mad at each other and they come to you, each of them with their problems? Do not bite on that. Because if you pick one, you're out. They're going to side against you and you're toast, man. That's just the way it works. So just play dumb or whatever you got to do. Pray. Let's pray. That'll usually stop it. But see, there's power in love, and we need to understand this, okay? And this is the first step in this kind of thing, is it says, that we have to understand that we are loved. And people struggle with this. Sometimes we maybe had a rough childhood. Maybe that's your issue or situation. You'd never felt loved. Maybe you've had somebody in your life that loved you. Maybe you've went through the pain of divorce and the pain of everything that goes like that. And it can help us misunderstand, really what the love of God is about. Because, when we get hurt, all these things kind of come into play. But I want you to know this, that God will never hurt you. God will love you no matter what. Even on your worst day, when you're the worst kind of person there is, the biggest jerk possible, think of that day, and God still loves you. You need to understand that God loves you. God loves sinners and God loves saints. So it's just important that we get that settled in our mind, that I am loved. And see, what we fail to remember sometimes is that love brings security, okay? Now, my wife and I have been married 30-some years, roughly. I should know the day. I think we're shooting on 35, maybe. I don't remember. But, we are secure in each other's love. We don't have any fears about anything in our relationship that would come apart. We trust each other explicitly. Now, I know that's not the case all the time. But I do have security. I'm secure in her love that I can be myself around her. Okay? See, that's love, when you can still be yourself around somebody. And so we need to have that settled in our hearts, you know, that God loves us that way. Because what I found out is that unloved people don't know how to love. It's a foreign concept. But see, faith works by love. And that's why our faith maybe isn't working. If our faith ain't working, check our love walk. I think that's important. You know, maybe we've allowed the world system to get in there. Maybe we're angry, or maybe all these things going on that causes us to operate that way. And then second, we need to understand that we need to love others with the same love that God has for us. And see, that's the key. You know, I think a lot of people, if you get to the place where you know that God loves you, but it's hard for us to understand that God loves somebody that we don't even like, somebody that we may consider our arch enemy or whoever that may be for you. God loves that person too. And so we need to love with the same kind of love that God has. And the good news is, if we're walking in the love of God, there's nothing anybody can do to hurt us. Read 1 Corinthians 13 if you don't believe me. I didn't write it, but I believe it. Love never fails. But it's a certain kind of love. It's the love that God, it's the God kind of love. And, you know, for us to get into that position, you know, we have to start, you know, heading that way and start showing the same grace to people that God has given us. And we do that, then we start to walk in a level of freedom we've never experienced. See, acts of faith should not draw attention to self, but be expressed by works of compassion. See, it's not about drawing attention to us. When we do something for somebody in love, you know, it needs to be the fact that we don't want to get the credit for it. We're just doing it because we love. You know, when you give something out of love, you don't want nothing back. That's the kind of love that we need. See, Jesus' faith, like I said, came alive when he was moved by compassion. You know, he saw a need and he was able to meet the need. You got two sandwiches, share one. Simple as that. That's the kind of love God wants us to have, and that's how we need to do. So what it said about three things here is, number one, faith was activated, faith is energized, and faith is expressed by love. These three things. So when faith is activated, it's a trigger goes off inside of us. All of a sudden, you just know that God is wanting you to make a difference right here. Like I said, you can't help everybody, but I do know, have you ever had that feeling? God says, I'm going to fix this situation. He's going to use me to fix this situation. So he triggers something inside of us. And then our faith is energized, because all of a sudden we can see that I can't fix that, but I know that God through me can. So we start to move on that situation, and then our faith is moved by, it's expressed because it's moved by action. So I want us to be on the lookout for opportunities in the next week or so where we can make a difference, where we can change somebody's situation for the glory of God. And see, that's power. That's the power of love. That's when faith starts to come alive. See, Bible faith manifests itself with corresponding acts of love. And Bible faith cannot be contained to a church building, but must be expressed to a lost and dying world. You know, we live in exciting times. I believe we do. I believe that God put each of us here at this time for a certain reason. You know, and you may say, well, I don't really see me doing anything big. You know, that's a candidate for God. Because if you thought you could do something big, you wouldn't need God. But see, now we need God. And see, the world, I believe, in the next few years, things, darkness and light is going to be really clear. Which one's which? And, you know, if we understand the fact that, you know, the darker it gets, any little bit of light is going to come through. Amen? No matter how much it is. It could be just a little match, a flicker. Could be a torch. Could be anything. But see, we got to be willing to be part of that light. And to be part of the answer. And I believe that each and every Christian You know, I thought of something funny the other day. It doesn't really tie in, but it came to my mind, so I'm going to throw it out. You know, he was talking about being the bride of Christ. I can't remember who I was with. Oh, I was at the community prayer meeting the other night, and which you need to be a part of, amen? Amen. We're hosting this month on the third Thursday, so I encourage you to come. But, you know, somebody's talking about being the bride of Christ, and I'm more of a warrior. I mean, that's my mentality. My first thing went through my head, I didn't share it, but I says, just because I'm a bride doesn't mean I have to wear a dress. Pray God. You know, I got the armor of God. Amen. I got the shield of faith. I got the sword of the Spirit. Amen. You know, and, you know, we need to be ready any time to make a difference in somebody else's life. You know, my life was changed because somebody finally shared the truth of God's love with me. I thought God was mad. I really thought he didn't care. Because I figured he was busy. He was so busy with everybody else. Why would God take time for me? But then somebody shared with me the truth. See, I had a disconnect with truth. A lot of people have a disconnect with truth. We got to stay connected. God loves, God cares, and he wants to be a part of our life. Let's pray.